And there's a lot more discussion that we could have had. I welcome you to listen in and think about what we want to look at this morning. A lot of ways this sermon ties together with the Sunday school lesson, and the message title is Making Our House a Home. And as you look across America, the home life is a disappointment. A lot of problems that we have in America are as a result of a broken homes. I don't have the statistics with me, but one of our local schools, the younger children, I forget what they told me, the percentage of single parent homes, it's way over the 50% of the children that are in first and second and third grade. And that's overwhelming to think about that, you know, how that has broke down in America. And it has a lot of its roots in selfish living. Actually, all the roots are in selfish living. And when people start accepting divorce and remarriage, and people felt like it's better to separate, and it just isn't working out. And a lot of problems, a lot of issues that you have that you see on the news is a result of a broken home. And I really appreciate our church settings and our Anabaptist faith and what we have stood for, and we want to maintain that. Now, we know that maintaining a Christian home is a whole lot more than just living together and existing together. There's a lot more in that than just the visible aspect of family life. Psalm 127, you can open your Bibles there. I want to read that psalm. And also, I think about the words that Jesus said. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Now, you know, I read that verse and the surrounding verses, and you get this idea that Jesus was teaching the possibility that we shouldn't have a house, shouldn't have a property. And I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. He was just reminding that he was here for a mission. He was here not for an earthly investment. But he was also teaching us that there's a whole lot more to life than having a property. There's a whole lot more to life than having a house that you call a place where you can sleep and eat and fellowship. There's a lot more to life than that. And that's what we want to look at tonight. Psalm 127, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So we have this little there's a lot in that chapter, in that psalm. But the phrase that stands out to me is, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it." I think every one of us this morning desire the Lord to build our house. But there's some things that we need to do. God wants to do his part. God will do his work. But there's some things that we need to do also. Now, another aspect I want to think about a little bit is, if you were to sell your property, most people will spend some time in cleaning up the property, maybe doing some repairs, maybe some painting, and just fixing up things. And then you call the realtor, and they come out and take a picture. And you want that picture to look good. Now, there's many times that, different times that I had some experiences in life that I looked at a picture of a property, and it looked really nice. It looked like it was well kept. It looked like it was a place that I would like to be interested in. And you go and you do a walkthrough, or you look at the property. Maybe it's a place that you want to take your family, a cabin or something for a little bit of a vacation. And you go on online and you look at the picture and it looks great. And the moment you walk inside, you're totally disappointed. Like, wow, these pictures are deceiving. We had that happen in our experience one time. And I went and looked at the pictures and was like, isn't that amazing? You know, that same thing can happen in our home life. We can go to the photographer. We can get everybody looking nice and sharp, combed up, take a picture. People put smiles on. It looks like a nice family. But that doesn't show the heart. Those nice pictures, you don't see the heart. And that's what we want to talk about. And that's very sobering, because every one of us as parents, as we look at that, we realize that we have our needs. And I look back on my life, and I know there's times that pictures were taken when it didn't really show the real hurt that was in the home. Let's just be honest with those things, and we want to look at that. God has a way to help us, and He wants to heal those hurts. He wants to help us, and we know that we have our weaknesses, we have our disappointments, and God is so much bigger than we are. I want to remind you of that. That story of Moses. You know, we talked about how Moses killed that Egyptian man, and you have God in his way taking Moses out of Egypt, and God was able to take something that man was trying to do in his own strength and made some mistakes and was able to take that and redeem that whole situation. And you look at the story, and it's a beautiful story. And God can do that in our homes. If you're a father sitting here this morning and you have disappointment in your heart and sadness because you know you failed your family, God can redeem it. And He does. And sometimes it's just marvelous to see what the children pick up and take a hold and do better than their parents. And it blesses us immensely. And God, that's the work of God. And I just want to remind you, don't get discouraged with those aspects. Well, what is a home or what is a house? It's very simple. It's a structure where people live in. It provides protection from the cold and the snow and the rain and the hurricanes and so on. It's a place where we go. It's a place where we eat and sleep. It's a place where we have our physical needs met. Now, that there's a lot of memories that surround our homes. Where I grew up and on the farm with my parents, you know, there's a lot of memories that surround that property. And so you have a homestead, and so there's an auction, and your parents and probably the children help, and they bring all this stuff out, and they have an auction. And there's items on that auction that have memories attached to them that people pay high prices for. And it's not necessarily the object that they're bidding on. You could take that same object, take it down the street to another sale, and it would sell it for $10. And over here, there's somebody who'll pay $1,000 for it. And it's not the object. It's not that it's some special thing. It's because there's a memory behind it. Isn't that amazing how that is? My parents had an auction here a couple years ago, and you know, we as children enjoyed being there, and there's just, you get these, you know, even farm equipment. It's amazing the memories behind farm equipment. Just steel, obsolete farm equipment. Stuff you can't even sell hardly anymore, but there's a memory to it. You know what, I bought a few things. It's not the type of appliances that you have in your house. It's not the home decor. It's not the landscape. It's not even necessarily your vehicles. It's the memories that are behind those objects and those things. We're making memories as we grow up in family life. Parents, you're making memories for your children. That's what makes those things valuable. It's a story of a young boy that lost their house in a fire. And an older gentleman was reaching out to him and said, "I feel sorry for you losing your home." And this is the boy's response. He said, "We didn't lose our home. We just need a house to put it in." I thought that was really a lot of wisdom. He said, "We didn't lose our home. We just need a house to put it in." Just some things for us to think about. Sometimes we get our priorities mixed up and we overemphasize the things of material things, and we lose sight of the memories that surround those things that we're blessed with. So we can conclude that a home is more than a well-furnished house. A home is where a family has their spiritual, social, and physical needs met. Oh, turn your to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And just some foundation here. What God told Israel through Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, I'd like to read. It says, "Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these things which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them with when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." I'll just stop reading there. I want to back up to, it says in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That is a foundation, fathers and mothers. First of all, before you can teach your children the values that God would have you to teach them, you need to have it in your own heart. You need to experience it. It needs to be alive. It needs to be something that's part of your life. And then he goes on, he says, "Now teach them diligently unto their children." And unto thy children, this home needs to, the devotion to God needs to be centered around the Lord and what He has commanded and His God's heart and His values and His desires. It's so important that we have it in our hearts. Now He says, "Do this when thou sittest and when thou lie down and when thou walkest." And I think about fathers and mothers just taking time to talk with your children when you drive down the road. Maybe you have 20 minutes, half an hour to drive, and you have your children with, speak with them, talk with them, talk about their values and concepts. And there's different times, there's many times that as you drive down the road with your teenager, talk to them about personal things. It's an opportunity. And I just want you to encourage you to take those opportunities. That's what he's talking about here. When thou sittest, when thou liest down, just in life as you live, talk about those values and those goals and concepts and convictions and so forth. It's very important. 1 Peter 4:7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Take time to pray. That word "watch" means to practice and be active. Pray, be a praying family. Very important. You know, when things come up in life that you don't know what to do about, just, you know, there's a lot of different things. You just don't have the answers. You're not sure what to do. Gather the family together and pray about those things. You're leaving an impression. You're helping your children. Home is a place for praise and thanksgiving. Helping your family be thankful and grateful. You know, we can get so negative at times, can't we? We can kind of murmur and complain. We wish things were different or better. I admire families that are thankful and grateful and you know, that isn't native. That is not native to our nature. What's native to our nature is to grumble and complain and look on the negative. Maybe some people have more native natures to be positive, but as a whole, we have this negative spirit and we need to cultivate gratefulness and thankfulness. Psalm 145:21 says, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Have a thankful heart, grateful heart. Another place in home is to protect from evil. Another aspect of the home is to protect from evil. Discipline provides protection. It does. Family life provides protection. And as children grow older, they really appreciate that protection. It's amazing how When you raise a family where the children are secure and they feel protected and they feel loved by their parents, those same children will have a conscience, a sensitive conscience. They'll hear their conscience speak. You have a family where there's chaos and there's undiscipline, those children, their conscience isn't awakened near like a child that is under structure. That, we see that in our Christian homes. We have a children's ministry in our local area where they reach out to a number of children in the city of Lebanon, and those children don't have a conscience. They really don't. They're not connected with their conscience. Not the way God would have them. And a lot of that is because of undiscipline. They're just not disciplined. They can do and say and whatever, act and behave however they want to. In school and at home and on the street and so on. And it's just amazing what happens. It says in Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture means, that word nurture, if you look it up, means to tutor and to discipline. And so this whole aspect of discipline, when a child gets to the age of accountability, you take a disciplined child that has structure, at the age of accountability, they will hear that voice. It makes a big difference. Undisciplined children have a hard time being sensitive to their conscience. They'll hear the Spirit of the Lord. And so we really value our discipline, structure, home life, school life, and church life. There's a whole lot more in there than the eye actually beholds. Number five, home is where children develop a desire, that relationship with Christ. 2 Timothy talks about that, the grandmother loss and the mother Eunice and how that affected Timothy and where he was. Home is where children need to desire a relationship with Christ. Just some points on the home. Number six, home is where family members can be honest with their needs and not be thought less of. You know, we all have our needs, and I think it's important that we try and cultivate that in our home life, where children are allowed to be honest with who they are and their struggles. And that children are allowed to be honest with their parents. You know, when I reflect back on some of my growing up years and some of my personal struggles, you know, it's really embarrassing, some of the foolishness that we can struggle with at times. And parents, you need to have the atmosphere in your home that your mothers, that your daughters can be honest with you with who they are and their struggles. And they don't feel good about their struggles. And when they come to you and they talk about some of their personal struggles, especially in adolescence, and they feel so bad about them and they wonder why they have these struggles, don't make them look foolish and weird or that there's something wrong with them. It's an opportunity for you to help them through those struggles. The same with young men. If we're honest, we all know that there's things that we would not enjoy broadcasting to everybody with our personal struggles, but we need dads that are willing to walk with those sons and talk about those things. Help them through them. They're not being bad. They're just being normal. They will be bad eventually if we aren't there for them. Home is where we need to help them learn to be honest, and it's safe to be honest. Safe to be honest. There's a togetherness. There's a commitment. There's not a ridicule. There's not this aspect of comparing them with other people and saying, really? So you have this need. I'm this person over here never struggled with this. Well, you don't even know. But we have this. We need to have this home life where children can be honest and they don't feel like they're held up to compare with other people and so on. Help others to accept. Help them to accept the unchangeable things of life. There's sometimes we grow up and we have a hard time accepting the way God made us. Maybe you look in the mirror and you're like, why did God do that? I don't really like my nose or don't like my ears or don't like my hairline. I mean, there's all kinds of things that people try and change in life. You know what? The best thing we can do is accept what God, how He made us. God made it perfect. Did He not? And we learn to accept those things. You help your children do that. And it's normal for them to struggle with that. It's normal for them to feel, you know, if they wish something would be different. But do you help them walk through that and help them accept that and embrace how God made them, and it's all right and it's beautiful. You know, that's the most beautiful thing is when people accept the unchangeable things in life. Number seven is where family members can develop their skills and discover their gifts. You have a family of children, and they have their different gifts, their different personalities, and different weaknesses, different strong points, and so on. And you help them cultivate where they need to be cultivated. You encourage them where they need to pursue their skills and their gifts, and they discover that. And it's all right. It's all right to have a total different, a child that has gifts in this area and a child that has gifts in this area that can be totally different. That's all right. Children need to be taught to accept that and embrace those differences. Also helping them to be humble with their gifts. There's sometimes maybe they are gifted in particular areas and they're good at what they're doing, and they can start resenting others that are not as gifted in a particular area. And you need to help your children not do that. It can show up in school. It can show up in different aspects of life. And children that are gifted in a particular area and they need to love and accept others that maybe not are gifted in that area that they are gifted in. It's that learning to accept each other and enjoy each other and helping each other feel like God has a place for them. Number eight, a home is where family members can develop emotional strength. Learning to pray together and being honest with needs and finding answers to those needs and learning to exercise faith in God and seeing God answer prayers, that all is an aspect of helping our children develop emotionally. How you allow your children to react to disappointments will affect how they grow up and react to life, big disappointments or further on in life. Helping your children learn to accept disappointments, like maybe you're planning to go to the zoo as a family. Your children are all excited about it, and the lunches are packed, and you're ready to leave, and suddenly there's something arises in the family that you got to cancel that whole trip. You know it. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a death. It may be sickness. Maybe one of the siblings just suddenly got sick, and you know it's just no way it's going to work to go to the zoo. And you got to cancel that. And as you help your children work through that process and not allow them to react and beat up on their sibling or whatever it is, will help them develop that God is in life and that we need to accept the unchangeable things that happen in life. But if you allow your children to get grumpy and moody and beat up on their siblings and get upset and just destroy that day with that kind of behavior, you're just allowing that child to behave like that when they get older. Those things really make a difference in how you help your children develop emotionally and learning to accept the things that happen in life. So you want to develop delightful children, develop young men that will be godly husbands and fathers, develop young sisters that love being keepers at home, submissive to their husbands, and those are our goals. It happens in home life. Home is where the elderly can be secure that they will be cared for by caring family. This is missing a lot in the worldly settings. People get older and due to their lifestyle. I mean, think about it. If you have single parent homes and the things that the what's happening in America in the home, who's going to take care of the parents when they're old? If the parents didn't take care of the children when the children were young, there's not a connection. And so we have such a blessing when we think about our home life. We just desire to take care of our parents. My wife's mother is like 81, 82 years old. We just want to look out for her. My parents their health is pretty good yet. They're care for themselves. But eventually, if God tarries, they're going to need more care. We want to do that because that's what they did for us. But if they would have been divorced and remarried and pursuing their own selfish interests, you know what? Do children really feel committed to their parents? Probably not as much as they should be. So this whole thing of this whole family connection is, it's a whole lifetime experience. And it's beautiful when you have children that want to look out for their parents. You know, the Hollywood stars don't have that. These people that are out there on the mainstream and out in, it looks like they got a lot of popularity and a lot of followers, a lot of fans. You know what? When they get old, their fans and their people aren't there for them. They're alone. So we just looked at a number of aspects of home life, and it sounds easier than what it actually is. You know, suddenly Monday morning, you're where the rubber meets the road again. And it's time to pay the bills, and the checkbook just don't have enough of money in it. And your children are getting old enough that they have a lot of pressures and a lot of influences pushing in on your home. And I want to share something on the board, try and draw it out. I'm not a good person to draw things, but I want to illustrate what we call the various influences that come into our home life. And if you just bear with me a little bit, I'm going to draw a little bit of a diagram. And this is home. And now you have a number of influences that come into the home. I'll start with that once. We have, so you have your home, and you have influences that come in. You have, of course, I'm going to use a different color. You have Christ and his influence. You have the church. You have reading. You have technology. You have friends. You have schedule. And then you have your neighbors. You have work. You have school. And you have the word. I think I got them all. So you have all those influences that come into your home, and they press in. So you have your home, and you have all those influences pressing in on your home. And as I look at those influences, I don't know if there's any that I could tell you that you'd be wise for you to remove. Maybe you could say technology, but the bottom line is that we're in a society now that in our culture that we have technology. We can hardly do without it. Even the Amish, I have some Amish people working for me, and they have technology in there. They use it at my place. It's amazing. They're just kind of forced to deal with this technology issue. But so anyway, we have the Word, we have Christ, the church, we have reading material. We have reading material, we have technology, friends, schedule, neighbors, work, school, God's Word, and it's the pressures of life. And what we're going to do with them will determine a lot the outcome of our home. They're not all equal importance. If you look at this and you're honest, they're not all equal importance. And we're going to look at that a little later. But, you know, being who we are, we would say definitely Christ is, and His Word and the church is the first. There's some that stand out in that way. Now, if you look at Scripture, it gives us some direction on a few things. Like we'll pick out work. You know, we all need a work. The Bible says that he that doesn't supply for his own family is worse than an infidel. So we do need to work. But there's a dark side of work. And if you read the story of the sower, it says the sower went forth, and there's some seed fell on thorny ground. And you know what the thorny ground was? It was the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of the riches. And you know that? And how many of us don't have the cares of this life? It could even be that maybe you have your proper priorities, and maybe you don't have your life set on riches. And maybe it isn't the deceitfulness of riches, but the cares of life. The things that we say we have to do. We got to get this done. And if we're not careful, it can be the expense of those three. So we really need to take a look at that. Work. Another one is music. You know what? I missed it. I thought I missed one. Music is a big one. I think there's supposed to be 11 lines. So we have music. And music is... music is beautiful, and we enjoy it. But Satan has a lot of counterfeit on music. Music can, the ungodly music, it affects people. It drives them to do things that they thought they'd never do. Music is an issue that we need to look at. You need to find out. You need to know what kind of music is in your home, and desire to have godly music, music that brings glory to God. Reading material. You know, we've had children in our home that enjoyed reading. We have a lot of books that they read, have read. And reading is very valuable. I wish I would have read more when I was younger. I support reading. I think it's good for you to read. But there's a lot of trashy, nonsense, useless material out there. Don't even waste your time on it. Sisters, don't waste your time on romance novels. It's foolishness. It's a way off perspective of what reality is. Don't waste your time. Mothers, guide your family with that. I really appreciated that about my wife and her vision on that with our daughters. You know, I just, you know, I didn't really know all the, I just never got involved in that kind of reading material. So I didn't know what was all out there. And she appreciated what my wife did for that with our daughters. And so it's mothers. That a lot of responsibility lies within you to know what your daughters are reading. Fathers, support their wives and their vision. And have a vision yourself. Especially if you're a husband that loves reading, you'll know what the values are and what they shouldn't be. Technology. Another one. Have you heard me talk about that? You need to know it's not safe to have devices that are not locked down or protected. It is not safe, period. And if you go buy a new cell phone, I know sometimes it takes some time to get the filters on and get it in shape. Know what's happening, fathers, mothers. Be aware. It's just a click away. Just one button. That's how easy they made the corruption to flow in to our households. It's destroying people spiritually. People are losing out. People are going to go to hell for that reason. What are they giving in exchange for their souls? So in home life, you have this,
I often said we wish we wouldn't have this. I actually despise this. I do not enjoy technology. It's overwhelming. I hate it. But we have it. So we got to deal with it. We can't just act like it's not there. Another one is friends. Know what for friends. Friends are very valuable. We enjoy friends. But friends can really be destructive too. Friends can really undermine your family values. Peer pressure. Know what kind of peer pressure your sons and daughters have. And talk about it. You know, there's times already that I needed to redirect our children in their peer pressure. Just happened recently. You know, I just wasn't real comfortable and I just needed to give a little direction, and I was thankful my son agreed with the direction. But he needed dad just to give that a little bit of a nudge and draw that line. We need to try and be connected. Schedule is another one. It's important. We need it. You know, there's two ways to look at schedule. Schedule can be too rigid in family life. It can be, you know, we lived at Shepherd's Fold for a number of years, 4 years or a little over 4 years, and we had a rigid schedule there, and it was good. But, you know, we soon found out in family life, you know, you can have schedule, but you need to be a little bit flexible. You really do. You have babies that are born and children, young children, but yet you need to have schedule. You can't just let everybody just everything go as everybody feels like it. You need to have some schedule. Really encourage you to have that. Next one is neighbors. You know, I don't know how it is in Mississippi. In our area, when I grew up, we knew our neighbors. We had relationships. You go to a sale and you knew your neighbors, and there probably was some concerns to be on that level. There was a lot of looseness that went on at different sales. I remember going to some sales and some of the things that went on with the neighborhood boys and so on wasn't healthy. Would have been good if my dad would have maybe paid more attention to that. Then the positive side of neighbors is you should know your neighbors. You should have a relationship with them, but it needs to be a relationship with protection. You know, having your children just go to their house and the TV's on and all that stuff, you know, we need to pay attention to those kinds of things. So there's a balance there. You know, you got to find your way. Next one is school. School can be really positive, but it can really be negative too. There's a lot of negative things that can happen in school. But I want to encourage you as parents that, you know, and as a school board and as teachers and principals or however, whatever you do, be connected. School can be really, really positive. We've had really, really positive experiences in our school life with our children. There's a few things, a few years that we had some things that were not so positive. And we needed to take care of those things and work with those things. But overall, as I look at the whole picture, it was relatively positive. And so it's something that as parents, pay attention to and do your part to help your student to be a good student and be a positive peer pressure. So those are some things that they're part of home life. I don't know if there's any of these that you see that you like, that you feel you have erased from your home. I doubt it. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. A little story that Jesus gave that is has a lot of insight in. Matthew 7, verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, just some observations on this story. Both of those men were builders. And I believe they both heard the same type of instruction. They both knew what it takes to build a house and a secure house. And they both had completed the building project. This was just thinking about family life. At the end of the family life, they already had completed their responsibilities. They had completed the building project. And I think the finished product looked very similar. Driving down the road, you probably looked at that house and looked at that house and said, wow, it's the same builder. Built the same house. It looks nice. And I think they both experienced similar resistance and problems and storms in life. The same storm that hit the house that stood is the same storm that hit the house that didn't stand. Now, just think about that in life. We have many different structures here in home life, different homes, different aspects. And we all face the same pressures of life. Maybe it's a little bit of variation, but the storms of life are all the same, basically. Might as well just acknowledge that. Why did one home fail and not withstand the pressures, the difficulties, and the setbacks of life, and the other one stood? Think about it. I think they both had equal opportunity. And I think every one of us here tonight, this morning, have equal opportunity to have godly homes. And you can say, oh, you don't understand. You don't understand my past. You don't understand what my dad did to me or my father did to me. I know I may not understand that. We still have God's word, and we still have equal opportunity to apply the word of God as we have it this morning. Unless you believe that, you're going to make excuses for where you're at and blame it on your past. And we can't. You'll just repeat the past again. You'll repeat the hurts in your children that your maybe your parents hurt you with. We can rise above that with the word of God. And just being humble and accepting that we need to do better. We need to rise above and acknowledging our needs. I believe it's important to have our influences in perspective. I have another diagram I want to draw. To illustrate how we can put this in perspective and build on a foundation that will stand the storms of life. Let me see. What was that? This is home, and then we have circle isn't very round. Then you have the lordship, of Christ, and you have you have the word, and you have the church. That's a circle of influence in our home. We have another circle of influence would be, I believe the next would be our schools. And then you have work, and then you have social life. I'll just put on peers for easy. Now, I would be of the persuasion, and I'm open to correction if you see something different. But I think in home life, if you want to build a home life for a solid foundation of on the rock, you have your home and you have the Lordship of Christ, you have His Word, and you have the church. Those three need to be the closest. They need to be the ones that the circle of influence, that's number one. That's foundational. Parents, you need to have the Lordship of Christ. You need to know what that means. Like in Deuteronomy talks about that it needs to be in our hearts. This Lordship of Christ needs to be in our hearts. And that's our circle of influence. You have God's Word in the church. As you plan life, it needs to be centered around the Word and through around the church of Jesus Christ. You plan life from that. You make plans from that. And then the next one, I believe, would be our schools. Our Christian day schools. I mean, they're very, it's a very, very important aspect of the home life. And then the next one would be our work, our responsibilities to provide for our families. And, you know, we need to work and do our part. And then you could say social life would be next. Now, people get this mixed up. Human nature gets this mixed up. I mean, I've seen homes already where this is replaced with, I'll just put in social. Social, I don't know if I spelled that right. I don't think I did. But anyway, you know what it means. That is replaced. Church is removed and social life is number one. Or you could put in the work. Trump's church. Our schedules for work must be tailored to that we can do our part for church. By all means, as much as possible. Maybe the Word is replaced, and we can put maybe, we don't take time to read God's Word, but we can put technology in there. And we spend more time on our devices than we do reading the Word and being in the Word and studying God's Word and reading good books. But we spend waste time on technology. Probably most of us could raise our hands on that. But what circle of influence do we want in our home? This will happen. This kind of stuff will happen if we don't work against it. Our default mode is to replace church with work and replace the Word with technology and all these other things. The Lordship of Christ, after a while, the Lordship of Christ is removed and is replaced with all things that maybe in themselves are not wrong, but they are not in the circle of influence where they need to be. It's a challenge we face. We really do. So the home, to be on the rock, the Lordship of Christ is dying to self, exalting Christ, having right priorities, godly values. I mean, I think of the Lordship of Christ, sacrificial living, that's all part of that, under that Lordship of Christ. And you have God's Word. It helps us have love relationships. There's discipleship under His Word, obedience, forgiveness, relationships, submission, godly fear. That's all in the realm of God's Word. You know, you read God's Word and it just helps you with all those aspects. And the church. The church is provided for accountability and protection and to exercise submission and to express our obedience to God as we live and are part of the church. The church, God provided the church for our protection. He knew that we need that. It's really hard to live out there by yourself without the church. Most people, if they have a Christian experience and they love the Lord, they want to be part of a body of believers that helps them exercise the things that God teaches in His Word. School, we need it. We need active school boards. We need active parents. You need to be involved. You know, I really... It grieves my heart when You have school, and you have a school visitation where parents can come and talk to their teachers and connect with the teachers, with their students. We call it school visitation, or you can have a home school fellowship meeting and so on. And on occasion, we have fathers that don't come to them. On occasion, I needed to call a father up and say, you know what? We expect you to be here. Your children are in your school. You need to connect with the teacher. I don't get it. Fathers, I don't know. I know nothing about you. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I don't get it. If you have your children in school, why you wouldn't want to connect with what's going on at school? Other than that, you're disconnected and don't care. I'm sorry. I'm being pretty harsh, ain't I? Our occupations are very important. Fathers, pay attention to where your teenagers work. There's a lot of negative influence that can come from our workplace and even on ourselves. But take care of our teenagers, where they work. They need to have positive influences. And also pay attention to their social group. The home shapes our children. The home is to be the core of our character building, helping our children develop character. That needs to be where it happens. Well, home needs a vision. In closing, I want to wrap this up. Home needs a vision. Where there's no vision, the people will perish. We have that in Scripture. And I just want to ask you, what is your vision this morning? In the days of Israel, they said there was no vision. And that simply was that the leaders in the homes had no spiritual vision for their families. Everything just kind of went as it went. There was no spiritual vision. What is your vision this morning? Ask yourself that question. A vision, you say, well, what is a vision? It's just a vision is a revelation. And so when you have a revelation, you have a goal and a perspective. You kind of envision what you want for your family. It's a vision. You have, when a person that paints, he can picture what the outcome of that painting is going to be before he's actually painting on the board. He has a vision. He's visionary. We need to be visionary. We need to have goals for our families. A mental image that's planted on our hearts. And it comes through God's Word. It comes through His Holy Spirit. It comes through the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's just where it's at. And the vision, a couple of the components of the vision should be is who we are. Ask yourself, really, who are we anyway? Well, we're Christians. Then we should behave like Christians. We should talk like Christians. We should have goals like Christians. And then you ask yourself, where am I heading? Really, what are my goals in life? What is my destination? What's our mission? And in our vision, you need to know the cost of failure. As a mechanic, I enjoy mechanic work and did a lot of mechanic work. But when you take something apart and it's something that's broke and you kind of picture what you want it to be, and then you think about how long you want it to last, and your goal is to build protection into it. Like if I rebuild an engine, there's a couple of different ways you can rebuild an engine. You can rebuild an engine and you know that it possibly won't last real long, or you can rebuild that engine and you build it and you do it right and you know that it's gonna last a long time. It's not gonna come back in 6 months and customer's gonna say you didn't do it right. And you have that vision, you have that mental perspective, and that's how it is in home life. You need to have that vision of what you want when your children, when your daughter or your son walks down the aisle and they join with another partner, and as they walk out of your home, you need to think about what kind of home you want before you're at that part. What kind of home you want them to have before they walk down the aisle. That's a vision. What do you want of your family? Revelation 3:18 says, anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. That's the desire that Jesus wants to do this morning. He wants to anoint our eyes with eye salve, that we can see and that we can have perspective and we know where we want to be. Now I know that there's disappointments in home life, and I know that children need to make their choices. And you can do it right. You can build on the rock. You can have the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can have good schools. You can have church life the way it should be. And still a person has their choices. And I know it breaks our hearts. And there's a choice that people make. I think the prodigal son, you see that story, that father, I think was a faithful father, and one son decided to do his own thing. So there is that reality that we can do it right and we can have a vision, but I do want to encourage us that we still need to do our part. So in home life, if there's a spiritual vision, you will support the church and be behind the church, not undermine the church with statements and attitudes that are said in home life. Well, may God bless you as you endeavor to have a godly home. I trust that you desire to have a godly home, and may God bless you. It takes a lot of work. I don't stand here because I believe that we did it all right. You know, I look at home life and I say, you know, the good things that we experience in home life is because of what God has done and how he picked up the tangled strands and made something beautiful. God can do that. It's humbling to have children desire to do what's right. There's so many pressures out there, so much influence that can take the good that you have done and destroy it. Really can. So God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.